In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This weekend is an interesting weekend in the church because normally we celebrate this weekend, and even this weekend we do celebrate the four feasts of the Nativity of the Mother of God. The Nativity of the Mother of God is, of course, our parish feast day, which is tomorrow morning. And so we'll have Divine Liturgy for that as well as Vespers this evening. But this weekend, because September 14th falls on a Sunday, there is another coincidence, and that is September 14th is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. It is about the halfway point between Great Lent last year and Great Lent next year, and so the Church sets this feast to remind us that the center of our faith is the precious and life-giving cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the work that He did on the cross for us. And so today, because of the centrality of that, we have readings the Sunday before the elevation and the Sunday after. And this year it just happens to fall on the forefeast of the Nativity of the Mother of God, as early as it could fall. And so we replace the scripture readings that we would normally have for those related to the cross. And that's why you heard it referenced several times today in our reading. And I want to highlight for us, and it turns out to be timely, actually, because we're starting on Wednesday, a Bible study of the book of Galatians. But we have here before us this morning the end of the book of Galatians, where we have Paul sort of summarizing what his thesis was in that book. You can hear that thesis. I'll speak about it today, and then hopefully you can come to the Bible studies and figure out exactly how he got to that thesis that I can't necessarily do well in 10 minutes. But we hear Paul telling us it's extremely important what he's going to say. He says, "See with what large letters I'm writing you with my own hand." In other words, not just his scribe, but I'm writing it and I'm putting it in large letters. St. Paul, of course, was before our time, so he didn't know, but we know this is like receiving an email, right, with all caps in it, or somebody responding to you in text. It's like they're yelling at you, they're trying to get your attention. That's exactly what Paul is doing. And what he says here in Galatians 6 relates actually to what we talked about last week as well, about how we often like to think that we can somehow chip in for our salvation, that it's not a free gift that God has given to us, and it's not by His grace, but somehow we can add a little extra to that. And that's what Paul is dealing with. You see, Galatians was likely his first epistle, certainly one of the earliest epistles, and so Paul was still a little bit more patient. He said, "See with what large letters I'm writing with my own hand." It's important. By the time we get to Philippians that I shared with you last week, he's calling his opponents the mutilation. He's tired of dealing with these people who say that you must be circumcised to be part of God's community, to be part of God's people. And that's exactly what St. Paul was talking about here today in Galatians 6, when he says, it's those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that would compel you to be circumcised. And only in order that you may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. You see, what was going on in Paul's time is, of course, we know from the Old Testament, that when one becomes part of God's covenant community, under the law of Moses, the men are circumcised as a sign that they are part of God's community. And this was something that today is common in our society, for males to be circumcised. It was uncommon, extremely uncommon, for anyone to be circumcised at the time of the ancient Jews. And this circumcision was given as a sign by God. The cutting off of the foreskin was given as a sign that being part of God's community is not something that you are born into. It's not something that you are given by birthright. And that's why you have, to be blunt, the taking off of the foreskin on the sexual reproductive part of the male as a sign of this. It was considered by the Gentiles, by the Greeks that Paul was dealing with in his time, to be something that was shameful, that a man would do that to himself, that he would mutilate himself. Paul is appealing to the Gentiles and referring to them as the mutilation. But Paul is pointing out that there is something even more humiliating for a Roman. There is something more humiliating for any human being than being circumcised in the flesh, and that is by worshiping a crucified Messiah. The shame of following after one who was publicly shamed and humiliated on the cross as an example, made as an example. If you want to mess with us, the Roman Empire, this is what we're going to do with you. And yet Paul and the early Christian community worship this crucified Messiah. And Paul points out, and you'll see if you go to the Galatians Bible study or if you read it on your own, that Paul points out the fact that righteousness under the law, under the Mosaic law, comes before circumcision, and it comes by putting your trust, your faith in God. Abraham put his trust in God. He believed in God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And so Paul is making the argument throughout Galatians that a person does not need to be circumcised. A male does not need to be circumcised in order to be righteous, in order to be part of God's covenant community. And he points out here in chapter 6 that even those who receive circumcision do not themselves keep the law. In other words, even if they keep that aspect of the Mosaic law, they fall short in other aspects of keeping the law, and thus they who are circumcised, just like those who are not circumcised, in other words, those who are Jews, just like those who are Gentiles, are in need of God's grace. But Paul goes on, they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. What does that mean? It means that you can prove it. You know, you're living in a society where you had Roman baths, okay? It's not like today where everybody has their own shower at home. People went to public baths. You could tell whether someone was circumcised or not. And so those people who were claiming to follow Jesus and saying that one needed to be circumcised, they could prove who their followers were, but Paul could not. Because how does one prove their trust in God? Well, they prove their trust in God by what Paul tells us here in this epistle. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything but a new creation. That's what counts. In other words, changing your life, changing the direction that you live. You were going west and now you're going east. That's what repentance means. And so what St. Paul is telling the Galatians is to remind them of the same thing that, again, we talked about last week, which is that we are not going to add to our salvation. We're not going to chip in and somehow be made worthy of this great gift that God has given us. Yes, we respond to that gift, and we do things because God has given us that gift, but yet we never earn it. We never add to it. We accept God's grace, and then we apply that same grace to others. And this is how, brothers and sisters, we become a new creation. And then Paul concludes by saying, peace and mercy be upon all who walk by this rule, upon the Israel of God. In other words, what Paul is telling us is that the true Israel of God, the true covenant community of God, is not people who call themselves Jews. It's not people who would be circumcised. And it sure isn't the modern state of Israel. It is the people of God who put their trust in Him, who put their trust in this crucified Messiah, who are willing to be shamed for the sake of following after Him and His teaching. So brothers and sisters, on this day, as we begin our celebration of the feast of the Nativity of the Mother of God, as we begin our celebration of the Feast of the Cross, let us once again be reminded of the grace of our God and of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified Messiah. Let us remember to always put our trust in Him, because that is how we become the people of God. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship to the ages of ages. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.